At Ability Chiropractic, we do things differently. We believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Our doctors take the time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, we help restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book an appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
Hey, everybody. I wanted to let you know that this week I had a family emergency, and as such, Darren and I were not able to record a new episode. However, the good news is everything is fine. My family is in a good place. I'll talk all about it in an upcoming NMR episode. In fact, probably this week's NMR episode. And we'll be back with brand new episodes of our true crime stuff every Sunday starting next week. Darren will be back from Portugal. I mean, Darren's been in Portugal for it feels like a month, maybe even three. It's very weird. I don't know. We need to talk about that. I'm back in Maryland. Everything is merry and bright. I just want to say thank you guys for being very patient with us. It's been a chaotic couple weeks for a variety of reasons. But we want to make sure you guys know what's going on. So that's what's up. We'll have more information in the coming days. For this week's flashback, we just did this one in May, but it was so weird to me that I just had to run it again. It's the I Dream of Murder episode. And if for some reason you're a bad child of ours and you haven't caught up to that episode, well, I don't know how you'd be caught up to this one, but nonetheless, it's a doozy if you haven't heard it yet. So enjoy this week's episode, and like I said, we'll be back with updated brand new episodes starting with NMR this week and a brand new true crime show next Sunday. Thank you again for being sweet and caring, lovely little children. We'll see you next time. Without further ado, here it is.
A few moments later.
Go ahead.
We introduced John Thrasher.
That's right.
There's John Thrasher. There you are. Yes.
Let's go ahead and do this right now because I think it's important at the top of the show.
Am I recording it?
We need you to do an isolated a few moments later, and it will be the master sound effect that I use on my board from time to time. So take a deep breath, maybe like do a quick little vocal warm up. Okay, here we go. Darren, I'm going to see you in, XYZ. Go ahead. Why don't you fill it in for us?
A few moments later.
That was even better than I was expecting. I kind of laughed through it. I'm going to have to take my voice out. That was beautiful.
Isolate your own fucking audio there, John Thrasher.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
I still have sound effects from our Patreon live stream game show, if you were a part of that fun a couple weeks ago. So I got to change them out,
Yes, you do.
Yeah.
By the way, you and I have to talk tie-dying.
Oh, yes,
sometime.
We should.
Number two, this is airing on Sunday. And I just have to say, it's May 1.
It's May 1. I was going to say Mother's Day. It's not Mother's Day. That's next week.
It's not Mother's Day yet. But of course, you're going to see every meme because we're recording this a day early.
I know.
It's going to be May.
It's going to be May.
And I get it. And I got it. But it's May 1 of 2022.
I was just
Is this you not flying by?
I know. I was just telling a friend. I was like, how is it April of 2022 already? 2022 is like
my birthday month. I mean.
Yeah.
So I'll get my gift in what? July? October?
Where is it? I don't even know where it is. Yeah, maybe.
Yeah,
we'll have to see how this unfolds.
Yeah, maybe.
How life unfolds like a burrito, if you will. I can't believe it's May. Happy May to those who celebrate May. I personally am so excited about May. You know me. I'm a summer guy. I'm a beach guy. I'm a heat guy. I'm a tennis. I'm a pickleball. I can't do anything I love if it's snowing and horrible outside, which, by the way, it was here last Monday there, and I don't know if you guys got snow up there, but I was buried under snow. Yeah.
We did not. Well, I want to get into, what was I just going to say to you about something? But anyway, it is May. Do you do the rabbit thing?
No, it's weird you said that because I thought of it, but I'm like, I don't do that. But rabbit.
I do it. I do it when I remember it. But I have no idea. I just know it's like a superstition kind of thing. Like it's.
You're making me choke on my drink.
And SJP does it. I know SJP does it because.
Love her.
I think. Yeah, because I think Andy fucked it up once where they were like waiting to midnight to say it. And he spoke before and she was. Before she said rabbit, she was like, no. And he like broke the. Anyway, John, before we continue through, a while back I was talking about these incredible THC gummies. Oh my God, are they so great. You probably remember me talking about microdosing before here on the show. If you search around a bit on the internet, you'll find all sorts of people microdosing to feel healthier. Our show today is sponsored by Microdose Gummies. Microdose Gummies deliver perfect entry-level doses of THC that help you feel just the right amount of good. For me, honestly, my biggest use is to have a creative boost sometimes later in the day after I'm done with work and I have to write something. This is so important. It's light, it's easy, and I feel the creative juices flowing. But also, it really helps for my anxiety, and that way I can sleep better. I have 900,000 jobs, including taking care of John Thrasher here, people. So it really helps to calm my anxiety and help me sleep. It's honestly amazing. Microdose is available nationwide. To learn more about microdosing THC, just do a quick search online or go to microdosegummies.com and use code SHAKEN to get free shipping and 30% off your first order. Links can be found in the show description, but again, that's microdosegummies.com, code SHAKEN.
Inspired by my apple pie at Bailey's. Not really inspired by, like motivated by. I put some more.
You're like, it's apple pie Bailey's.
I put more in my coffee because it's apple pie Bailey's, everybody. Yeah. I typically don't drink when I have pickleball. Now that it's after work hours, I was like, I have pickleball in a little bit. I was like, I don't want to drink, but I just wanted a little hint. It's not even a full drink. It's just a hint.
Not even a shot?
It's probably less than a shot. It's a splash. I wanted a little flavor. I needed to wake up, frankly, which is why I'm having coffee at this hour. I don't usually drink coffee this late. But I wanted to be peppy and ready to go. And why not a little bit sassy, too, you know, for pickleball?
Fair enough.
What are you drinking?
Full disclosure, I'm drinking mostly water. But full disclosure, because I was drinking, is that I had therapy right before this.
How's that?
So in order to button therapy.
Yeah.
To recording, I decided to take a shot of vodka in between.
You're like, therapy went so well.
It was my reward for one and my punishment for the other. And I will let you guys decide later which one's the reward and punishment.
Yeah.
But, technically, I'm a shot deep. Maybe I'll do another one after this. But
Welcome to the show. Exactly. Before we continue, I want to talk about Lumi Microdose Gummies. Usually, Darren and I are talking about how amazing these are at the top of every show, but I wanted to talk about how amazing my family thinks they are. I gave some to my aunt and my uncle. My uncle loves them because it helps him focus on his mindfulness, which is something that's very important to him. My aunt texted me, who's usually very stressed out at her job. She's been trying them out, and she says it's really helping her focus better. So I wanted to talk about how incredible Lumi Microdose Gummies are. Our show today is sponsored by Microdose Gummies. Microdose Gummies deliver perfect entry-level doses of THC that help you feel just the right amount of good. It's definitely helping my aunt and uncle feel the right amount of good. So highly recommend. I've already started thinking about how I'm going to buy some of these for holiday gifts down the road, okay? Maybe I'll get some for Darren and it'll show up a year later. That's typically how things go with us. Microdose is available nationwide. To learn more about microdosing THC, go to microdose.com and use code SHAKEN to get free shipping and 30% off your first order. Links can be found in the show description, but again, that's microdose.com, code SHAKEN. Well, on October 4th, 1980, 24-year-old Karen Ann Phillips was found dead on the floor of her Illinois apartment. Now, Karen's body was discovered face down and naked with her nightgown bunched up around her neck, which is an obvious sign typically of sexual assault. Her head was covered in blood and her body was covered in numerous wounds. The tips of her thumbs and index fingers on each of her hands had been pressed together to form an O. And Darren, you're showing me in the Zoom exactly what it is.
Yeah, so it's like the okay sign, I guess. Or yeah. Asshole.
Yeah, one of those, yeah.
One of those. But that's... And we've talked about this before, because moving bodies post-death
it
sometimes feels like very, like, religious-y to me. You know, like, they'll put...
Yeah.
Something about the placement of people. And I know that this was, like, part of the Black Dahlia and everything, but something about moving the body outside of either to remove it or place it, like, hide it or whatever, moving it in, like, an inch this way and that way is super creepy to me.
I agree. I mean, yeah, it's very unsettling. Well, Karen's friend Helen Palella was one of the first people to speak to authorities. Both women belonged to the Kriya Yoga Hindu Temple in Chicago, where Helen practiced as a swami.
Have you ever done yoga?
Yes, I had done it a couple times like throughout my life, but I recently just did a full yoga session on, quick plug, they are not a sponsor, Apple Fitness Plus, which is like...
Dean likes Apple Fitness Plus.
Oh my God, it's great. Yeah, like...
That connects to the Apple Watch.
Yeah, it connects to your Apple Watch. You can do it's basically like, think Peloton, but for the Apple TV, and it does all, you can do all different types of exercises. And I've been doing strength training, Darren. You should see my arms. I'm just like super muscular these days.
All muscular people say that.
All muscular people definitely say things like, I did yoga on Apple TV.
And they say it like, I'm super muscular these days. That's how you can tell the difference between an actual muscular person and not, is they know the thing to say. And
that's
you
true.
Said it.
That's true. And
good job.
Here I am.
Good
I've job. Arrived.
Here you are. You said the right word. So...
And yeah, I really love it. Like, if I highly recommend if you have an Apple TV, or I think you can even do it on an iPad, maybe even an iPhone. I don't know.
You definitely can. Yeah. I'm a big proponent of working out at home. So that's always a very good workout. If you have the equipment or, you know, sometimes you just need dumbbells.
Well, that's the thing.
Resistance band, and that's all you need. So,
that's all I have. The reason I was so intrigued by it was because you didn't need that much equipment. You could just do dumbbells and a yoga mat. So I've been doing yoga. It's not going well.
Before we continue,
Before
we continue, what's the weight of your dumbbells?
I can't disclose that at this moment in time.
5 pounds?
I will say it's more than 2.
less than
100. So somewhere in between.
Again, that's exactly what muscular people say. So you pass the test. Okay, keep going.
When people
keep
say going. They're like, "What do you bench?" I'm like, "I sit on it." You're like "What?" Like, what do you mean? What do I bench? Yeah, there's a bench.
Exactly.
I sit on it.
Exactly.
Anyways, guys, not to make too much light here, but anyway, so yes, as I mentioned, both of these women belong to this Hindu temple in Chicago. Helen identified the O shape that Darren was just showing me on Zoom, which, as Darren just mentioned, it's kind of like the OK symbol, if you will.
Or asshole, yes.
Sure.
Here, yes.
Whatever it may be. Helen identified it as mudras, a symbol used in their Hindu denomination. The symbol signified the search for peace and passive acceptance of death. So, Darren, not quite the things you were kind of running with there, but similar.
Yeah.
Karen's neighbor, a student named Muhammad, who lived in the apartment next door, told authorities that he'd heard voices and pounding coming from Karen's apartment around 1 a.m. Now, listen, as New Yorkers, we've heard people screaming and on the streets and in our apartment buildings. Have you ever had a neighbor where like you are hearing something so loudly that maybe you like need to call the authorities? Has that ever happened to you?
Only music, thank God. I've only ever heard music, which is like annoying, you know, ever since we went remote, because sometimes it's like trying to go to bed, but nothing, not that I can think of anything like egregious. Yeah, nothing that I would like call the police
or anything like that. Yeah. Yeah, New York. That's the one thing about New York, too. Like, at least this is my experience. I also have never had a situation like that, at least not that I can remember. But I feel like so many New Yorkers, because we know that we have to live and share this space together, we... for the most part, are, like, respectful, you know, of stuff like that. Maybe I'm wrong, but, you know. While he couldn't make out what was being said, the voices sounded like they were arguing. He stated that he had gone to knock on the apartment door, but didn't get an answer. He had later heard the argument continue, this time in hushed whispers, which is kind of creepy, followed by more pounding. I don't like hushed arguing. You know what I mean? Like, was he like, you shut the fuck up right now? Or
no, but to me, it's, yeah, to me, it's either like you're doing that because you know someone's outside listening,
right?
Or because you just did something
wrong.
And now you're scared.
Totally.
Right.
Well, the same day, authorities canvassed the neighborhood and spoke to Stephen Linscott, a Bible student who lived in the next building over. Lots of religious undertones in this community and in this story. They asked Stephen and his wife if either of them had noticed anything odd around 1 a.m. the prior night. At this time, Stephen recalled a vivid dream that he'd had around 1 a.m. the previous night, which involved a brutal beating.
Huh.
Stephen didn't mention the dream to police at this time. So, okay, we've got the Stephen guy. He's saying he's having a dream. There's a brutal beating unfolding.
That's what we know. I mean, to be fair, okay, so authorities canvass the neighborhood. They go to this guy, Stephen Linscott. Okay, he lives in the building next door.
Mm-hmm.
They ask his wife if they notice anything. He doesn't say he has this dream to the cops.
But he recalls it at that time, allegedly. Yeah.
He recalls it at the time, but he says nothing. Because to be fair, like, it's a dream. Like, if I thought I had a dream, now we don't know if it's officially a dream. I'm just saying at this part of the story, if I had a dream, like last night, I vividly had a dream about snow and like skiing in snow.
Okay.
And if you had said something to me, I'm not sure I would put two and two together being like, oh yeah, like it snowed last week. We're like, it doesn't necessarily seem to, like, equate. So I don't know if this is lying or just not understanding if this is linked in any sort of way.
I agree.
Well, after the authorities left, he discussed the dream with his wife and two of their friends, who encouraged him to tell the police about the dream and let them decide whether it was in any way significant. This scares me a little bit because, as we've talked on the show, it's probably not good to talk to the police because you say this and this is going to submit evidence, but it might not be evidence.
Totally.
And this just seems very precarious. So I'm not sure who I would talk to, actually.
I don't know that a lawyer would be the first person, yes.
I talked to a lawyer. And on October 6th, Stephen contacted police, letting them know about the dream he had the night of Karen's murder. Scott hoped that his dream might somehow aid the police in catching Karen's killer. And Scott, this seems a little woo-woo to me.
But like,
though,
why does he think that?
I don't know. Maybe he thinks he's clairvoyant.
Yeah, maybe.
Scott spoke to authorities over the course of two separate interviews, during which time he voluntarily provided both written and recorded verbal accounts of his dream. Stephen's dream began with a man taking a few steps toward another person. The two people engaged in what appeared to be a friendly conversation. However, Stephen was unable to recall what was actually said in the dream conversation. So it's unclear whether or not it was friendly. I'm assuming he's just assuming because I feel like you'd know if it was violent, right? So if it's like not violent, the presumption is friendly. At some point, the dream man began to change by smiling in a perverse way. And if you guys want to know what smiling in a perverse way, look at any of John Thrasher's pictures.
Look at Darren's Instagram.
Yes, correct. The dream man suddenly had some sort of metal instrument behind his back, which he held up threateningly at the other person. At this point, Stephen woke up, unsettled by the dream. Fair. I mean, because that would scare me. Anyone who has, like, a perverse smile that I could remember would scare the shit out of me. Like, when I think about dreams that I can really remember in my life, let's say I can remember 10 great dreams that I've had, none of them really have to do with faces. It's places and things and, like, things I did. And I could be like, oh, Nadine was in that dream. Or my parents were in the dream.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't really recall their faces. I just remember them being my parents. So smiling in a perverse way, I guess, is really being in tune with your dreams. Because I've never experienced something that specific before.
Two quick things for me. Number one, I'm thinking Cheshire Cat from Alice in Wonderland.
Oh, yeah. Alice in Wonderland?
Yeah, that's what's freaking me out.
Okay, nothing about cats are perverse. So
nothing about cats.
You. You're dumb.
True.
You're dumb. Okay. Okay.
But speaking of perverse smiles, really quickly, sorry, my audio cut out. One time in college, I woke up. I think did I just mention this? I forget. But my bed was like really low to the ground, and I was having a dream of this like scary person like coming into my room, and like I could see the face. Like, this is reminding me of of this dream because of what you just said.
Can you still see the face now?
Yes, but let me tell you what it was. I open, and then so I'm sort of like coming to, I'm waking up. I'm staring directly at my electric socket. And that is the face that's like haunting me. So just getting kind of real here on the show.
No, my mic didn't drop out for anyone that wonders what happened to my voice.
Right.
No, I'm still here.
But have you ever had that happen where like your dream and reality
right
state,
along.
Yeah, kind of
yes,
like
no,
blends
no, yes,
together
definitely.
And then it's like the scary thing in the room is actually the jacket on the back of the door.
I think to some extent I might still sleep talk here and there, but when I was a kid, I did it a lot more and I can remember doing it. I can remember like what I was doing and I can even remember kind of being in that state, but falling back asleep. Like that's what's so weird. You know, like my parents caught me kind of like sleep talking and being kind of up in my bed or whatever. God. I don't think I do it as much because Nadine doesn't tell me that I do. And I feel like
I was just going to say at this point, partners and friends would probably know more than we would.
Yeah. And it's probably a kid thing. You know, you're kind of learning.
Yeah.
Whatever. But that's terrifying. And kids, don't be scared of your electric sockets.
That's true. Don't have nightmares about your electrical sockets that you're allegedly staring at while you're
allegedly
asleep. Yeah, allegedly.
And it's a commonplace item that, yes, looks like a face, but not a particularly scary one, but I digress. Anyway, let's move on. So
yes,
Stephen is unsettled by the dream, and Stephen walked around his apartment for a few minutes trying to shake off the unease. During this time, he looked at his watch and remembered it being around 2 a.m., so that's probably why he's like, oh, 1 a.m. I kind of had this dream, even though it could have been 5 minutes ago.
Yeah.
Stephen then went back to sleep where the nightmare resumed and the creepy dream man beat up the other dream person. At this time, officer, it sounds like Moon Knight. At this time,
I keep thinking that.
Doesn't it?
There's like even a man named Stephen in Moon Knight. So it's like weird.
Doesn't it?
Yeah.
It's so weird. So at this time, officers suggested that perhaps Stephen had psychic powers. What is the... psychic powers, and asked Stephen to speculate about the possible characteristics and motives of Karen's attackers. What if I was like, yeah, there's this guy Khonshu, and you're on this ship in the desert, and... Yes. But you're also in a psych ward. Anyway,
Moon Knight,
listen to NMR if you want my full takes on this show. I can't stop talking about it. Anyway, Stephen told police repeatedly that there was nothing in the dream regarding these areas. Everything had been visual imagery, but did his best, obviously, to answer the question. See, this is why you don't talk to cops, because now you're fucking roped into this goddamn thing.
There's clearly no lawyer here being like, no, Stephen, don't do this. You're setting yourself up for major problems. My other thing, too, I don't know if anyone listening is thinking this, too, or maybe, Darren, if you're thinking this, are the authorities are they kind of leading him a little bit here? Like, okay, Stephen, tell us about that dream, in quotation marks. And they're just trying to get his recollection of a scenario in the event that maybe it lines up with what actually happened.
There's two things that pop into my mind here. One is that they're trying to lead him and maybe say like, oh, was that dream man? What was about that brunette dream man? He was brunette, right?
Yeah.
Like,
right.
What about him with the facial hair? So baiting him, or are they trying to see if he's really the killer?
Well, that's what I mean. Or both. I mean,
and
both
to
of those
trip
could be
him
true.
Up.
Yeah.
So I don't know if they're relying on him to solve it or they think it's him and they want him to be tripped up. And I don't know which...
We'll have to see where this goes. But
we'll have to see what happens.
Well, when asked questions like, is the attacker married or single? Stephen responded, quote, well,
like,
it's a... responded, quote, well, it's a possibility. If he's not married, perhaps he's been married because he seemed real at ease with the opposite sex, not like an older single fellow.
Like, okay.
What?
Now, Stephen, you're the killer. Because Stephen...
right.
What either you... Either you tripped, you took drugs and you tripped and you're having this ayahuasca experience where everything's visceral and you see color, you see sound and shit like that.
You can taste shapes.
Because like, who in a dream, even if it's visited, even if it's like so visceral, is like, oh, we had a comfortable ease with the opposite sex. Like, bitch, all you see is them arguing. How do you know how he is with the other sex?
Yeah,
you
don't
know
his blood type. Like, what are you talking about?
Right,
here?
Like. Married or single? What? That has nothing to do with how he is.
Well,
what the fuck?
Well,
I know plenty of single guys that are... Anyway.
No, I love that you're going off about this because I wanted to mention Stephen Caveat. Stephen caveated his responses to these sort of questions by noting that these were, quote, just my impressions of the guy. I used to be a psych major. Darren ringing a bell.
So
yeah, exactly.
Yep.
Detectives then suggested, I'm just trying to make a correlation here. Like, maybe you've had dreams like this, Darren. Maybe you need to go to the authorities. I don't know. But
I did have a dream one that said my best friend turned into a bee, and only I knew that she turned into a bee, and the whole neighborhood was looking for her, and no one believed me because I was like, it's the bee, and no one believed me. And that's pretty much the story of my life.
What is that? This episode
no one believes
is very
me.
Weird. Yeah.
Anyway.
That just, do you remember Maya the bee?
That shot of vodka really.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
What'd you say?
By the way, do you remember the show Maya the Bee on Nickelodeon back when we were kids?
Maya the Bee? I'm looking it up.
Check it out. Look it up while I'm getting back to this. Because, see, like I said, he's a psych major. Detectives then suggested Stephen use his, quote, psychic powers to message the attacker, to which Stephen responded, quote, stranger things have happened. So now the police are saying, hey, Stephen, use your psychic abilities. We want to, what is this? Literally Stranger Things? What are you, 11 from Stranger Things?
Can I just pause on your Maya
you
B comment? Because I looked it up.
Yeah.
And I could be wrong about this, but I looked it up. And John, double check my work here. But John said that show when we were kids, I really loved it. Now, John is only 2 years older than me. So presumably his kid show or my kid show. I looked at my...
No, I know what you're doing.
It's a TV series from 2012.
No, it's not.
We were
not.
24.
No.
You were 26.
Hold on.
So you're liking Maya the Bee at 26?
Hold on 1 second. You're about to be extremely embarrassed.
I'm Hodor.
I'm Hodor. Maya the Bee original... Yes, they rebooted it, Darren. Ever heard of it? It's happening a lot on television these days. It was an original show. Here. Let me show you a link. I'm going to send her a link.
Yeah, give me, because thank God, because like I'm genuinely concerned for you.
Well, it was originally a show on like some network. I want to say like ABC or something.
Is it from 1975?
Yeah, it was like super old. But it was like one of those cartoons that like reran, you know? Anyway, Darren's making fun of me, so I'm getting sad.
Okay. No, we're good. Keep
going.
Keep going. Yeah, we're good. We can live.
You threw me a little bit because I'm like looking up. Okay, so anyway, Maya the Bee was an old movie or an old show that got rebooted, and I loved it when I was a kid. End of story. Okay? You're having, your friend's a bee, you're coming to me about my problems? Your friend's a bee, no one knows where he or she is, and I'm the problem?
I do.
All right.
But no one believes me. All right. That's the problem.
All right. Back to the story here. The detectives are suggesting that Stephen uses psychic powers. I have never heard this before in the hundreds of shows we've recorded. Stephen then accompanied by authorities to a nearby hospital where he was then accompanied by with a. Stephen then accompanied authorities, to a nearby hospital where he provided samples of his blood, saliva, and hair, which of course makes you think that at this point.
They think
they're
he's the
like
killer.
He's the killer, right?
They're like, we're just gonna keep going with this.
Yeah, let's go take your psychic
What's
powers.
What's his name?
Yeah,
Beavin.
Right, exactly, Beavin. Upon returning from the hospital, authorities accused Stephen of being Karen's attackers, and he vehemently denied the allegations and left the police station. They didn't have any evidence at this point, so they couldn't hold him. But
I mean, and to be fair, if this is him. He admitted it. He turned himself in.
Yeah, totally.
In theory.
Right.
So that's interesting.
He's giving a lot of details, too. So on November 25th, Stephen was arrested and charged with Karen's murder and rape. The key pieces of evidence in this arrest were the statement Stephen provided about his dream. How's that going to go over in a trial? We're about to find out. Because at trial, the prosecution's primary evidence was Stephen's own statement that he had voluntarily provided. The prosecution noted that there were several prominent similarities between Stephen's dream and Karen's murder scene, which is what we were sort of talking about earlier. Stephen told the police that he thought the weapon in his dream might have been a tire iron. The investigative team found a tire iron in the bushes near Karen's house. The iron was covered in blood and hair. The hair stuck to the iron was consistent with Stephen's own hair.
But I have to believe that, like, to some extent, like, maybe the way this is going, like, it's possible that Steven was in, like, a fucking fugue state because he's admitting to all of this in a weird way, just via dream, you know? It's like his brain protecting him. He's a psych major. He knows.
Yeah, he knows all that. Yeah. Well, in Steven's dream, the victim had been beaten repeatedly in a downward motion. Karen's body was covered in multiple lacerations and bruises in a manner that indicated that the attacker had stood above her. In Steven's dream, blood was splattered all around the victim and the attacker, and in the actual murder scene, there was a great deal of blood spatter. Lastly, in Steven's dream, the victim had, quote, passively accepted the beating. The prosecution noted that the O-shaped hand signal Karen's friend Helen had noticed was the symbol for passive acceptance of death, which freaks me out because I'm like, in her last moments, was this her way of passively accepting her fate? I mean, I can't imagine.
If you're being beaten with a tire iron in a downward motion, I don't think you're like, I'm going to hold up my hands.
I don't know. Yeah, sign. But
I just can't imagine that. Yeah. Well, there were quite a few disparities, though, between the dream and the real-life crime scene, however. Stephen continually referred to the victim as being female. He thought she may have been black. Karen was white. Additionally, it was found that Karen's cause of death was a combination of beating and strangulation. Stephen's dream contained nothing about a strangulation nor a sexual assault. The prosecution team also relied heavily on DNA evidence left at the scene, which they claimed was very rare. Prosecutor stated to the jury that the biological material found at the murder scene had to come from an O-secretor. You know, I love that term.
Mm-hmm.
An O-secretor, which was a relatively small population group, which happened to include Steven. Okay. By the way, here are some facts about about these secretors. If you're a secretor, it means your ABO blood type is found not just in your blood, but your other bodily fluids, a.k.a. your saliva or mucus. Non-secretors have their blood type only in their blood.
I didn't even know that, by the way.
Me neither. About 71% of the overall population are secretors. And about 70% of people with blood type A are secretors. That's me, so I might be a secretor.
Okay.
67% of blood type B, 68% of blood type AB, and 88% of blood type O. So more likely than not, if you have O... And what seems like almost the other ones, I mean, even 70%. I mean, do you know what blood type you are?
I don't actually, which is weird. You just had me thinking I should look up my blood test results and see it's in there. Yeah.
Well, this is all based on public health studies, not going by this information. Secretors are significantly more common than non-secretors, and O secretors are the most common blood type. So it's not that insane, just to give you a little context of it. Therefore, the prosecution was sort of full of shit when they claimed O secretors were a relatively small population group. So you can see them kind of trying to fit this narrative into that when it's not actually in fact true.
Yeah, and a state forensic scientist also testified that several hairs found on Karen's body, bed, and carpet were consistent with Steven's hair. While the prosecution submitted to the jury that all of the evidence could have come from Steven, there was no testing to prove that any of the physical evidence actually came from him, which you have to do. Like, in this type of a case, you have to make sure you get the samples and validate, like, where this evidence actually came from.
Do the work.
Exactly. On June 16th, 1982, Steven was found guilty of Karen's murder, but not guilty on the charge of rape. And by the way, 82, you know, early DNA days, I don't know that DNA testing was as relevant as it was, especially now. So something to think about as well. On November 23rd, 1982, a few months later, Steven was sentenced to 40 years in prison. Then on August 7th, 1985, a few years later, the court reversed Steven's conviction on the grounds that the prosecution's proof of his guilt was legally insufficient. I mean, yeah, when you look at the facts, I mean, it doesn't really make a lot of sense. Also taken into account were the false statements that the prosecution made to the jury. On October 31st, Steven was released on bond and allowed to go home. On October 17th, 1986, I was about 10 months old, the Supreme Court determined that the evidence of Steven's guilt had indeed been legally sufficient after all. The court reversed Steven's appeal but remanded the case to court for consideration. It was the court's job to examine the existing evidence while taking into consideration a slew of issues raised by the defense team but had been previously unaddressed. This is getting interesting. I mean, maybe I'm misunderstanding this, but it's almost, I don't want to say double jeopardy, but like.
Well, it does seem a little bit like that. I mean, I guess if it's the appeal, although he has been found guilty, so this is presumably to show that his guilt was based on nothing. But it's interesting that things have been previously unaddressed. That doesn't feel right. If you're going to find someone guilty on 40 counts, you got to address it all.
Totally. And most prevalent was the issue of the hair evidence found at the scene. The defense insisted the hair samples be tested instead of just examined by an expert. Right.
Yeah, because, of course. Like, what the fuck?
Like, if you took our hair, Darren, your and my hair, which look, you know, we have similar-ish hair, brown, dark brown hair, I would say healthy.
Yeah.
It would, I would say, if you examine it, it looks the same. But is it the same? Of course not.
Yeah, and there's so much evidence in the hair sample. On July 29th, 1987, the court reversed Stevens' conviction once again, this time on the grounds of prosecutorial misconduct during the original trial. The court felt that the prosecution team grossly misled the jury in the original trial, which we had talked about, especially as the secretors, regarding comparisons of blood and hair evidence found at the murder scene. The prosecution appealed the decision. And with the appeal pending, the defense team moved for a new trial on the grounds that a re-examination of the evidence showed what had initially been identified as abrasion on Karen's body were actually bite marks.
Oh.
A hearing took place at which time the defense presented evidence from an odontologist, who claimed the bite marks could not have been made by Stephen's teeth.
Mm.
And the motion for a new trial was actually denied. The prosecution brought the case back to the Supreme Court, where once again the conviction reversal was upheld. However, the ruling allowed for a retrial.
Interesting.
And in preparation for this retrial, the prosecution attempted to bolster their case by submitting the physical evidence for PCR testing, which I feel like most people know what PCR is
now because
of COVID. The analysis came back indicating that the semen found at the scene could not have possibly come from Stephen.
Oh, my God.
And although DNA tests have been performed on physical evidence in years prior, all had come back inconclusive. Technology had now evolved to the point where a definitive ruling was possible. And on July 16th, 1992, after realizing that the DNA evidence proved Stephen's innocence in Karen's rape, the prosecution dropped the murder charge.
Oh, good.
The lead prosecutor refused to state Stephen's innocence. Of course he did.
Of course.
Saying only that there was insufficient evidence to retry him for murder. Of course.
Right, because there is no evidence, by the way. It's not insufficient. There isn't any.
It's also, as a prosecutor, if you're not upholding innocent until proven guilty, you should not be. You are in contempt of the court, as far as I'm concerned. In total, Stephen served 3 years of his sentence and had been freed on bond for 7 years. And on December 19th, 2002, Governor George Ryan pardoned Stephen, which entitled him to compensation for his wrongful conviction.
Good.
But what does this say about the dream? I mean, what does this say about that?
Is it that
it's a coincidence? Because we don't really have any other evidence to prove otherwise. And like, a beating is a beating. I mean, the tire iron is weird, but...
I mean, yeah, that is weird. I mean, if I'm on the outside looking in, which of course I am... I might think that Stephen may have known something, may have seen something. Like you even, you know, you bring up the joke about, not the joke, but you mentioned me witnessing some shooting a couple years ago, which I'll talk about another time.
Allegedly.
You know, yeah, exactly. Now, what if the police come to my door and I say I was dreaming that, you know? But in reality, I witnessed something from afar or I got some information somehow. I mean, it's hard to say what goes through someone's mind to describe everything like that. But
what's even weirder about this case is, like, in theory, based on the evidence that they did kind of have at the crime scene.
Yeah.
Stephen could have gotten Stephen, who ultimately was freed.
Yeah.
If he never decided to come forth, if his friends were like, yeah, tell the police.
Yeah.
He might have saved like 5 years on his life. Like, that's what's so odd, which is why you always talk to lawyers first. Always talk to lawyers first.
It's also interesting too, because you almost think about the series of events that happened here. Would they have ever found the actual killer? Did they? By the way, we don't even know.
I actually think in this research, didn't Megan write, this is the exact type of reason you don't talk to the cops?
Megan did send that our way. It's so weird, exactly. But let us know what you guys think about this episode. You can hit us up at jthrasher@carpedarren. We're in the Facebook group. We're responding to you on Patreon if you're a Patreon listener. Darren, let's get into some listener shout-outs as we wrap up this week's episode.
Yes. Okay, let's do listener shout-outs. Audrey in our Facebook group wrote, was heading to the mall. Love the mall. Was heading to the mall and saw a semi-truck with the Brown Sugar Bourbon logo on it and immediately thought of John.
Oh, that's so sweet. You know what? I haven't had Brown Sugar Bourbon in so long because I ran out of the bourbon. And I need to go out and buy some because those
we need to get you some more.
Brown Sugar Bourbon BSB. feels like early pandemic, you know, like we were doing live streams and we were doing Instagram
Agreed.
Lives and I was just getting drunk on that. So thank you, Audrey. And if you could, I think I mentioned, I was like, could you just bring the whole truck? I think I commented to her, like, just get the whole truck and bring it to me. That would be great.
Yeah, exactly.
Claudia
exactly.
posted a picture of her new dog, Jack, in our Facebook group. And we just wanted to say congrats on becoming, she says, a new mom again.
Yeah.
Yeah, we love that.
Yeah.
We love that.
We love an animal mom.
Typically, we hope everyone stays on topic. But if it's animals, also on topic. And we're fine.
No, that's fine.
Yep.
That's fine. And thank you to everyone who signed up for our Patreon. If you haven't yet, we really, really hope that you will. Of course, that always helps us.
Yeah, your support keeps our show going for as little as $5 a month. And that's cheaper, Darren, than a cat butt tissue holder, which, by the way, you can mm-hmm. win if you sign up to our Patreon, apparently. We've given away two of those at this point. So.
And please rate, review, and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. That won't get you a cat butt tissue holder, but it will get you our hearts.
That's very true.
Count for something.
And speaking of our hearts, we must give a special shout out to our producer, Megan. So if you're listening somewhere in public, count down with us. 1, 2, 3. Thanks, Megan.
Thanks, Megan. Oh, I did the okay sign,
you
too.
Did.
That's creepy.
Be
Sorry.
Careful. All right. We'll see you guys next time. Bye.
Bye.
At Ability Chiropractic, they do things differently. They believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Their doctors take time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, they help you restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.